today on Real Radio.
Strange. Here's a strange thing. The peace of God that passes all human understanding is available right now in front of every one of us at all times, 24/7. So the question is, why don't you have it?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Thank You, God, Part 2, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 1 through 7. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. He went to Philippi on his second missionary journey and had a great love for his new church fellowship there. In this unique letter to the Philippians, Paul calls himself not an apostle but a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Paul was in a terrible place, and yet in his prison cell, he was so thankful to be in the family of God. Beaten and bound in chains, he was still full of joy, for he was no longer a slave to sin, but free in Christ and in partnership with his sufferings. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how we can sense God's good pleasure when we live a life surrendered to him. Our purpose is to fulfill God's plan for our lives through the power of his grace. And whatever God calls us to do, we are to run with it, for we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I'm such a big believer in this. Even the horrific things of our lives, the big problems, my son's not talking to anymore, or my daughter's estranged from God, or this is what happened with a neighbor. I don't care what's gone on. You and I as Christians have the power to walk up to our neighbor and knock on the door and say, listen, the stuff I told you last week, that was not Christian of me. I failed in my witness to you. Jesus is not like that. I'm miserable. I understand that. And I'm asking you, please focus on Jesus and don't focus on me. I shouldn't have been rude to you last week. You can do that. You say, well, I didn't do that. Well, when you do that, God is our Redeemer. He fixes things that are unfixable in this world. He does that. Nothing can set us back if we have that mind that Paul is talking about, that attitude that God is in it all. And look what he goes on in Philippians 1, verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What an awesome thing. So Christian, today in our lives, whatever's going on, we can say, Lord, you know it. I just surrender trying to figure it out. Why has this relationship been so difficult for so long or whatever? God, I give it to you. And I'm going to choose today to do the Paul thing, the Jesus thing. And I'm going to further the gospel. And what's implied here is that when he's speaking to the saints at Philippi, is that God had singled them out. This grace to you, God, he's sovereignly singled out. Listen, he just, his favor, his smile, his pleasure. Some of you need to hear that. That God is pleased. Why? Because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. Have you accepted Christ? You say, yes, I have. Then listen, you're coded. You're coded. Your life is hidden in Christ. God the Father sees Jesus when he looks at you. I don't feel it. But that's what the Bible says. That's pure theology. From the Bible. So don't argue with God. Just say, thank you, Lord. We are favored by God. I don't want to belabor this, but it's kind of cool. Do you guys remember from the movie Chariots of Fire from like 1880, so whatever it was? Remember that movie, Eric Little, the Olympic runner? Do you remember the guy was like, it was amazing, him and Abrams. I forget the guy's first name, but last name was Abrams. One's a Christian, one's a Jew, one's legalistic. Eric Little's a born-again Christian, free as a bird. I mean, he didn't care. And the amazing thing about Eric Little is that he didn't live to run in the Olympics. Abrams, that's all he lived for. Worked his tail off. What are you doing? I'm working to get the gold medal. Wow, I'm disciplining my life to get the gold medal. And all of that stuff. And what would happen? There goes Eric Little. Work, work, work. Strive, strive. Labor. There goes Eric Little. Praise the Lord! And Eric Little is the one, you can go look it up later. He says, I believe God made me for a purpose. He also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. You can't stop a man like that. Work harder. He probably sat there and like, go ahead and work harder. All I want to do is run because God loves me and God made me fast. So with that motivation, he ran and won a gold medal. They told him, the Olympic committee said, listen, your particular event is going to land on a Sunday. You got to run. And he says, I have never done anything on Sunday but read my Bible all my life. And I'm not going to run. The world was so disappointed. They wanted to see him run. He said, I'm not going to run. They almost forced him to run. They threatened him. It was horrific. His country was all upset with him for it. He said, I'm not going to run. But when he got a chance to run on his event, he set a world's record. And he says, when I run, I just feel his pleasure. Listen, in Christianity, listen, that's how we should live our Christianity, starting today. Amen. You know what? I'm going to go live for Jesus, and I sense his pleasure. Listen, a lot of Christians are born again, but they're just under a cloud because they're not living with the Lord. They're kicking against the Lord, but he's your Lord. He's your Savior, but you're resisting him. And it's a labor. It's a burden. No, you need to run. You need to run with him. You could just see Jesus out ahead, smile on his face, running his robe. King of kings, Lord of lords. He doesn't need a horse. He can run. He rides on the wings of the wind, says the Bible. The clouds are his chariot. What an awesome God he is. In Philippians 4:11, regarding this amazing attitude and the power of God's grace at work in Paul's life, Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I, listen everybody, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, even California. I had to say that too. To be content. I know how to be abased. That is, I know how to be absolutely poor. And I know how to abound. I know how to have stuff. Everywhere and in everything, or in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Wow, he had a discipline. He knew how to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Why? Paul, what are you, crazy? Nope. Read verse 13, he would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What an attitude. This is how we're to be living today. The second thing is this, church. Thank you, God, for all that we have been given, and that is this. We have been comforted by God. He says, and peace to you. Peace to you. This is the peace of God. Many of you need to pay close attention to this. If you're not a Christian today, you have no peace. I don't need to read your mind. I used to not be a Christian, and I had no peace. And the proof that you don't have peace is that you drowned your reality in things, people, or substance. You've got to drink a little bit to calm the nerves or to divorce yourself from reality. If your married life isn't doing it for you, then you'll get a little bit on the side because you can. After all, nobody really knows, and yet you don't have peace. You win the lottery, and you don't have peace. You get the better paying job, still no peace. You can never have the peace that God promises unless and until you have the peace with God, which generates the peace of God. Meaning this, as a non-Christian, you're fighting against God. I remember fighting against God. I didn't even know who he was, but I remember fighting against these convictions. I would be doing something, and I would hear like Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder saying, you shouldn't do that. And I thought, what is that? What is that? Just give me another beer. I'm hearing weird voices in my head. It's like I shouldn't be doing this. No, this feels good. Let's do it. No peace. I was fighting against God. And the moment you come to Christ, you have peace with God. All of the sins repented of go to the cross. That's what Jesus died there for. And the peace is now established with God. No more at war. You are now a child of the living God. Then what happens next? In that order, peace with God, then comes in the peace of God. Here's the funny thing. I say funny, not really funny. Strange. Here's a strange thing. The peace of God that passes all human understanding is available right now in front of every one of us at all times, 24/7. So the question is, why don't you have it? I'll tell you why. The other day, I tried to eat a pomegranate. You know what that is? You know, it's a biblical fruit. Because only God can figure out how to eat the thing. I would think it's like trying to eat a porcupine. Where do you start? So you try to eat one, right? You better eat it naked because you're going to ruin your clothes. It's going to be all over your clothes. What color are your hands?
Red.
Red. What color is your face?
Red.
Teeth? Red. Tongue? Red. Everything's red. Floor, curtains, red. I mean, this is all red. And you can't get it off. No wonder why the biblical times they would stain clothing, their robes, to be red. They'd stain them in pomegranate juice. Okay? I want you to keep that picture in your mind. The peace of God, you're not going to have it. You're going to heaven. God loves you. You're born again, but you're just a nail biter because you have no peace. Because you know what? You've not been dyed in the wool peace. As pomegranate juice stains your clothes, so you need to just get into the bucket of peace. You say, how do I do it? You get before the Lord and you say, Lord, I need your peace. And it's right there. Hey, how do I get it? You say, Lord, I need your peace. I'm asking for your peace and I'm thanking you for it now. And I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to live your peace out in my life. You guys, this is supernatural. It's impossible. You can't do it on your own, but you can ask. Ask him. Watch what happens. You young people, I'm asking you to do this experiment. 30 days, starting today. Ask God. God, I need your peace. For that, you know, while you're at it, say peace, wisdom, guidance, joy. Ask him. Ask him. Write it down. 30 days. Ask him, Lord, every day. In 30 days, watch what happens in your life. I mean it. Try it. Be bold. Grab his robe. Hang on to him. Watch what happens. Amen. He will bless your life. Comforted by God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, in the New Living Translation, I'll read it to you. Philippians 4, 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You want to end worry? Pray. Are you a worrier? It's because you're not praying. I come from a long line of worriers. My mom taught us how to worry. She was brilliant at it. I mean, she was great. But you know what? You begin to pray, and worry begins to go out the door. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. Don't you love that? His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Do it. You can read about it. You can quote Bible verses on it. But until you get immersed in it and get stained through and through by the amazing peace of God, you'll never know. See, Paul focused on the grandeur of his God. Paul recognized that the world had nothing to offer him anymore. A lot of young people today, a lot of people, forget about that. A lot of people, period, are being enticed by the world. And Paul would say, this world holds nothing to me anymore. You say, well, yeah, but he was in prison. It didn't matter if he was in prison or not. He was the same guy. Isn't that cool? Same person. Same person. Because this world could not afford what he needed. And you need to make note of this, that the peace of God that we're talking about, this deep, God-given peace, it is not an emotional sensation. Oh gosh, I just feel, I have a peace about it. The bridge is out, you're going 90 miles an hour, you got 300 feet to stop. What are you gonna do? I just have a peace about pushing on the gas more. A lot of people, a lot of Christians make decisions and let people make decisions for them because people, like, for example, come up and say, you know, the Lord told me to tell you. Well, that's funny because the Lord told me to tell you not to listen to you. God gave me a Bible. I can read it. Don't let anybody come up to you and say, the Lord told me to tell you. That means that they are Lord now in your life. Are you a Christian? Yep. God will talk to you direct. He'll use the word of God. Don't let anybody fool you. It's not an emotional sensation. And number two, listen, it is not wishful thinking. Oh, I think the Lord just told me, Susie, Betty, the Lord just told me that that's my husband over there. Look, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. What I'm saying is, God's peace is not spastic or fleeting. A.W. Tozer says that God reveals himself to us in those familiar patterns of personality. God is a person and possesses personality, and it is through the personality to personality that we experience God. Remember, church, your Bible is to take you into the presence of God. Don't worship your Bible, worship the God that your Bible takes you to. We said that last week, it bears repeating. Paul saw life this way in Philippians 3:10. He says, I want to know Christ. Now, don't say anything, but is that your desire? Do you want to behold God? Do you want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? Do you want to be with him forever? Do you want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead? Who wouldn't? But Paul was a realist. He understood the world he lived in. Christian, listen carefully. Yes, we want that power. Yes, we want that experience. But wait, he went on to say, and I want to suffer with him. Okay, stop right there. I want to suffer with him. Look at it on the screen. I want to suffer with him. He's not insane. He's not smoking anything. He's not out of his mind. What is he saying to us? That there is a knowledge of God that can only come through experiential suffering. And I know it's real quiet in here all of a sudden, real now. Nobody wants to sign up for this, but you know what? It's too late. You were born. In life, we will suffer. Some of you will go through your suffering without Christ, without God, because you won't bow the knee. You won't let him be Lord. That's a horrible way to live. And you're going to need all the Jim Beam and Jack Daniels that you can buy, because that's all you got. And then there's the Christian who says, God, help me. Lord, be with me. And how is it that I cannot explain that this God of ours takes the very hour of our difficulty, whatever it might be. Maybe it's months, maybe it's years in suffering. I remember my sister suffering for 7 years with cancer. And not only did she come to Christ because of her suffering, but she grew more in 7 years than I did in my entire Christian life. Why? Because there is an intercourse with God that is experienced through suffering that you can't get anywhere else. And Paul says, you know what? I don't care what happens because I am Christ's bondservant. He's my master. He vowed to take care of me. And frankly, I don't care what happens in my life as long as the gospel is preached and people come to faith in Jesus. He said, bring it on. Bring it on. Absolutely awesome. Remember, as I said last week, you can't stop a man like that. Can't stop him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing with his death, so that I'm in one way or another will experience the resurrection from the dead. God is in our sufferings. This last week, Thursday night, Lisa and I were called out to City of Hope. And many of you remember Dan Greeter, servant here, 8 years. And we got a call that Dan was at the City of Hope. And that was kind of caught us off guard because, you know, like 6 or 7 weeks ago, we saw him and his wife shopping at the grocery store. And all of a sudden, you know, he's at the end. So what in the world? We drive out there, all the family's there. And, you know, listen, when you do this enough, when you see people enough, nurses, doctors, you know exactly what I'm saying. When you walk in the room, in half a second, you walk in the room, you just take a look. Okay, this person's not long. It's that clear. This person's not long. So I asked someone, has the doctors told you guys what's up? Because he's not going to be here long. There's only one person in the room who knows. So, well, okay, thanks. Glad to know that. So I just said, hey, everybody, can I have your attention? Listen up, please, you guys. I want you to take a look at Dan. Look at your dad. Look at your brother. Look at your husband. That's not him. That's not him. The inside of the real Dan, you guys, ain't sick. His spirit doesn't have cancer. His soul does not have cancer. His body is dying. That's what Paul said. The outward man's perishing, but the inward man's being renewed day by day. And I said, listen, you guys need to start singing to him. Worship now. Listen, inside of him. He's fine. Let him out. Start worshiping. Give him Bible verses. All of you, I don't care about your voice. Don't worry about it. Listen, start singing him praise and worship songs. Find out what his favorite worship song is. Start singing it. Get in there. Get it going. And send him off with joy and happiness. And let him know it's okay that you guys will catch up later. Yes. Just give him the permission. A lot of people will hang on. And some hours after that, he went to go see Jesus. The inside of you lives forever. You may be young, you may be old, you might have cancer, you might die of old age, you might be a heart attack or stroke. Doesn't matter. We live in a world full of sin, and we suffer because of sin. Thank God. The apostle said it's weighing anchor. That's what happens when we die. We just cut the anchor loose. We leave this carcass here to stink up the room. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. God's goodness. Comforted by God. The peace of God. The next thing is this. We have been entreated by God. For all that he has given us, he has, listen, we have been entreated. We don't use that word much anymore. Entreated by God. The word entreated is an old English word. It means strongly asked for or requested or firmly. We don't use this word either, solicited. Isn't it amazing? God entreats us. It's an old English word. He entreats us. So what does that mean again? To be prevailed upon by God. I like that statement. To be prevailed upon by God. You want to know a living, breathing picture of it? You want to know who was prevailed upon by God regarding this entreatment of the Lord? That God, we are so thankful to him for all that he's given us because we have been entreated by God. It means that he pursues us. Do you guys know who Jacob is in the Bible? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you remember what he was doing? Remember he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, which turned out to be a theophanies in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And what happened? What happened was he, in prevailing against the Lord in that wrestling match, which every boy should read, it's awesome. Talk about action figures, it's amazing. But then, ultimately, the Lord prevailed upon him and changed his name forever to Israel in that room. Boom! Knocked his hip out of joint because he said, listen, from now on, you're so stubborn, you're going to have this handicap. Put a placard on your donkey, park anywhere you want. But here's the deal. Every time you limp, you're going to know, this is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. This is from the Lord. This is from every step along the way. God prevailed upon him. And that's that word, God prevails upon you. In love, in grace, peace. Stop resisting him. Let him love you. He's crazy about you. Third and final point of today is this in verses 3-7 is that thank you, God, for our future that is certain. Now, Pastor, have you seen the stock market this week? Listen, there's nothing certain in this world but insanity. Our future is certain with him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Thank You, God. And thank you for listening. Our desire is that you know Christ and experience the joy and peace that only he can bring. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, we really enjoy hearing from our Real Radio listeners and finding out how Real Radio is making a difference in the lives of people around the world. Sharon writes in and says, I'm very pleased that Pastor Jack has his studies on Facebook, at his website, as well as YouTube. He's very easy to follow and is so knowledgeable of my favorite study, eschatology. Thanks to Sharon for sending that in. If you'd like to get a hold of us and say hello to Pastor Jack and share your thoughts, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.